Coming at you on this Tuesday night, 104.5 The Zone, the Nashville Soccer Show on your radio dial alongside Lucas Panzeca and Davey Shepherd via the magic of Zoom tonight. My name is Will Bowling. Lots to discuss, gentlemen. A deal that is imminent, a result that was unfortunate, and a quick turnaround to tomorrow night in Nissan Stadium between Nashville SC and Toronto. Boys, how are we doing?
We're doing good, man. Good to be back again. And listen, let's try to keep the level of the show tonight at a level more similar to what we normally do, unlike Nashville SC this weekend, who I think looked by far the shakiest that they have looked. Maybe I think the least complete game they've ever played at the MLS level, and we'll talk more about that in just a bit.
Yeah, that is the conversation we will start with coming up here in a minute. Where does this result on Friday rank for Nashville SC at the bottom of the results that it's taken in its MLS history? There's certainly a lot of better ones, that's for sure. I really only think of one other one that you could argue is worse than what Nashville SC did in a 2-0 defeat against New York Red Bulls on Friday night. There's lots to get into about that performance, about how this team looked. We're also going to spend probably more time than usual, guys, tonight on the next match. Because, of course, the next match is tomorrow. Little midweek soccer between Nashville SC and Toronto FC. The good news for Nashville SC is that you're about to face a Toronto team that sputtered out of the gates as well and that has just had a similar performance to you, giving up goals, defensive mistakes that allowed Orlando City to beat them 3-2 on Saturday night. So they're coming off a really deflating defeat, but they're also getting back the reigning MVP of Major League Soccer, who, of course, made his first start for Toronto in the starting 11 against Orlando. But, guys, let's start with New York. Lucas Panzeca here as well. He's getting our stream up and running right now as we get started on Zone TV as well. But, Davey, what was your overall biggest takeaway from the way Nashville played against New York and why they came away 2-0 down?
Well, listen, I assume everybody, you know, wants to talk about the issues up top. Just the lack of goal scoring. There was nothing going forward creatively. I think the worst performance of the season offensively for the club. You're down Yonder Cadiz. He's not there available. You're down Dambaji. He's out via injury. You're down Daniel Rios. He's out via injury. So look, there's a lot of things you can explain that away with, right? Not the personnel who we've seen excel up top. We heard CJ Sapong had a foot injury after the game, right? So there's a lot of reasons there. My point is this, and I think Matthew Doyle tweeted it out after the game from MLSsoccer.com. What is with the defense? And we heard Walker had a potential, I think it was an ab injury that Gary was being careful with his substitution. So I'm willing to give a little bit there. But there are just been a few of those goals that we've given up that, simply put, last year this team does not concede. And I think when you're a team that's on the margins like Nashville SC is, you look at the beginning of the year, most of the people across the board had them somewhere on the playoff bubble. I was a little more bullish. I had them a little bit further up. But most people in the know said, hey, this team could make the playoffs. Maybe they couldn't as well. We'll see. And I think the goals that you're seeing this team concede are the ones that the team that doesn't make the playoff concedes, right? And so, yes, is the team in playoff position now? Sure, they're right around it, doing okay because other teams hasn't been playing as well. But don't get it twisted. The identity of this team is strong defensive core. And thus far through the season, even though they haven't conceded a ton of goals, they've conceded a bunch of untimely goals. And that's really cost this team a ton of points when you think about it, because we know they're not going to score tons of goals. We know that's not going to happen. And you're seeing the team right now, one goal like that, just it gives up the whole thing. And so I got to see more defensively. I just think that's who this team is, and we haven't been that group yet this year.
Well, and too, Lucas, the defensive mistakes are only okay if you're making up for them on the other end and still getting favorable results. It was only a matter of time, right, before one of these games where Nashville makes bad defensive mistakes ended up at a loss instead of a draw or a win.
Yeah, and in a game like this, when you're missing as many key attackers as you are missing, you have to be able to fall back on that. I mean, this team has to be able to fall back on that regardless of who's on the field, but especially in a situation like they had with New York. And this isn't a consistent trend we've seen all year. There was a shaky start against Cincinnati, give up two great goals against Montreal that is hard to really pinpoint and fault anybody. And then after that, it's a streak of, what, four games without conceding a single goal? But it's in the last two matches that we've seen some shakiness in the back, and it's been from Walker Zimmerman and Dave Romney against Atlanta and Alistair Johnston against New York. It's coming from guys that you don't expect it to come from, that you need to be your rock when you need to fall back on that defense that has carried you in this short time through MLS.
Davey, here's where I stand on this performance and this team right now going forward. There's no margin for error. This team in its best existence can be really good. I think this team, when it plays up to its potential, is good enough to make another run through the postseason with the way they play defensively, the way it can pick out crosses on corner kicks and on free kicks and set pieces. They're really strong in areas that could allow you to make a run through the postseason. But when this team isn't on in its strengths, when this team lets one of those things I just mentioned relax just a little bit in its B or C existence, there's just not a big enough margin for error for this group because the attacking quality and the depth just isn't there. And to be fair, this is the first time we've really seen that be tested with international duty and games coming really fast while Nashville SC has been in Major League Soccer.
Yeah, and I think you're nailed on with that, Will. And what I'd say is I don't want anybody out there thinking, oh, these guys, they're bashing the team. They're not understanding what they're going through. This, that. We get all of that stuff. But we've been saying all year long, these are the issues you're going to face this season.
Yeah,
you're going to need another starting number eight. You're going to need another DP quality forward to come into the lineup. And currently, this team doesn't have those things that can come in and make the difference in a way that you need them to be able to make the difference. It's also easy to sit here and say, hey, is this maybe the worst performance the team's ever had? You know why it's easy to say that? Because they haven't had that many really bad performances.
They've
right?
been, at worst, average.
Exactly. So they've been a pretty good team in most games. Like not just an average team. They've been good.
At least, at the very minimum, hard to break down.
Exactly. They've been a good team with good players. And that I would specialize. I brought up the defense earlier. I would even nail the defense has been more than good. The defense has been great in most games. And so when you see mistakes like we've seen in little spots this season, it hasn't been a huge trend, but it's been spots that cost this team points. It's easy to bring up because it hasn't been the character of this team so far. And like you said, Will, the margin of error is so thin for this team because at the end of the day, it's just math. It's just how many points can you put on the table versus other teams in your conference? And right now they're dropping points against teams that they should be better than in the conference. And so New York Red Bulls, credit to them, a hard place to go play. Right. They look like the real New York Red Bulls, not like who they've looked like the past year or two. They looked legit, just dominating with the press, broke down the middle so easily. And Ben Wright, I think, brought that up about, hey, well, what's going on with midfield connecting Nahani in front of it? Look, Dax McCarty has not been his normal self for swaths of the season so far. And I think you've seen last year, who I would say was the most consistent performer for the club, Anibal Godoy, kind of got lost in the shuffle. You got the captain next to him. You got flashy guys in front of him. You got Walker behind him. I think Anibal Godoy is the heart and soul of this team. And I don't even think that's like some weird take. I just think he is like the engine that churns it all up. And when he's not in the lineup, you've got issues. Missed him because his flight was late getting back the other day. He will be very, very welcome to see tomorrow night against Toronto.
It was like the most New York Red Bulls, very true to Red Bulls brand performance, right? You mentioned a high press playing the long ball game. And I think Walker Zimmerman detailed it as just creating chaos, pinging those long diagonal balls into the box to make something happen, and Nashville just didn't quite respond defensively. And look, if you told us before the season, guys, that Nashville at this point you've played eight matches, that you'd be in 10th in the Eastern Conference, I think everybody would have had some degree of disappointment. No, I mean, I know through those first few games where it's draw after draw after draw, you could look at them all individually and say, well, okay, you know what, that's not a bad result at home against Miami. Okay, that's not a bad result away to Real Salt Lake. But then when you take a step back and zoom out a bit, it's those results that are kind of coming back to bite Nashville right now. Why they're not seventh or eighth in that Eastern Conference table.
This is exactly why we were having the conversation about concern level and about this team not performing up to expectations after the second match day. Because when you come off of an international break and you're missing your talisman center forward, who, by the way, that was a good game for Yonder Cadiz. Bad game for Nashville SC, but a really good game for Yonder Cadiz to show how much value he really has in this Nashville SC side, who couldn't, at the very least, go to him off the bench. I mean, if there's anybody who comes out of this as a winner for Nashville SC, I legitimately think it's Yonder Cadiz's chances of staying on this team.
Yonder's, and then me for backing Yonder the entire time.
That's fair.
The two winners, I would say.
That's fair.
I don't know how much of a difference he would have made because there just wasn't that right. Link.
Oh, and look, in his defense, Sapong's out there running around on one foot as well. So as much as I back Cadiz, the guy you've got playing forwards on one foot. So
and he created Nashville's most dangerous, apart from the Hani Mukhtar free kick that hit the crossbar, Nashville's most dangerous chance in the second half to Randall Leal, who, you know, you want him to hit that anywhere except right on the keeper, which is where he hit it in the box.
Isn't it crazy, too, that we haven't even mentioned this yet? And we're sitting here talking about maybe Nashville's worst performance ever in MLS. And you still have a goal called back, rightly, offsides, but still a goal called back offsides, fine margins, and a free kick that hits the crossbar. I mean,
wasn't there a header that hit a post as well?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You still had chances in this game. It just goes back to what we were saying earlier, guys. The margins are so thin, you've just got to finish those chances. You can't afford to hit the crossbar. You can't afford to be just a step off sides, especially when you don't have the full depth. Let's get to some of the comments on 104.5 The Zone TV. We start with Andy Simmons hanging out on Facebook. Predictable comment here from Andy. Saying,
get off Facebook, Andy.
Have I gotten to, yeah, Andy with the boomers once again, who says, have I gotten to the part of the show where we discuss Bukayo Saka's masterclass performance? Andy, I have been promised that that will be discussed at some point on today's show. Actually, I'm just going to decide. I'm decreeing right now that that's going to be discussed at some point, probably in the final segment. But we do want to spend a lot of time on the Euros. There's lots to discuss going into the final day of the group stage tomorrow. Mikey Dreamer has a great question on Twitch, guys, and I say this is where we take the topic next. Where should our expectations be, given it's year two for Nashville Soccer Club? At this point of the season, based on what we've seen, coming off of a rough performance and heading into a pretty pivotal match tomorrow night here in Nissan Stadium, what is a fair expectation level? Lucas, I'll start with you.
I really think you set your standards year by year. And as harsh as it might be, Nashville SC set a standard of a conference semifinal last season and a little playoff run as a playoff contender throughout the course of the season. So I think expecting anything less of that would almost be a disservice to this team. That's what they showed us they can accomplish in year one of MLS. So to take a step back from that and say, well, no, we shouldn't expect that in year two. Why shouldn't we expect that in year two? Despite a start where you're in 10th in the Eastern Conference after eight games, you know, this team didn't even go to MLS's back in Orlando last year. You talk about a bad start. I know COVID kind of came in like a wrecking ball, but this team through the first 2-3 months maybe had the toughest start to the season of any MLS team, because they couldn't get down to Orlando and they had such a late restart all the way in August and still made that run to the Eastern Conference semifinals. I still think the expectation to lie there. At minimum, this team, if it does not end up in the playoffs by the end of the season, I'm considering a disappointment. I don't see how I couldn't.
Davey, what do you think?
Yeah, I got to go with Lucas here. To me, it's like, I don't think you can just lower standards, right? Like, I think you either are like an overachieving club, or you're an underachieving club. I don't think like, hey, you know what, this league's hard, or hey, you know what, we're not spending as much as other people. I just don't buy into that. At the end of the day, they went out last year, showed that they're a quality club that are hard to play against, and that's who I expect them to be. I think that's who they've been for large portions of this year. They've been very hard to play against for a lot of teams. I think they got to make the playoffs. Like, I think they're that good. Now is the world falling apart if they don't make the playoffs? No. But you talk about people who don't want to lower standards. You know, Mike Jacobs doesn't. You know, Gary Smith doesn't. You know, Ian Ayer doesn't. So I think internally they're saying, hey, look, this team's good enough to make the playoffs. We think we're an addition or two away from being like even more than just a fringe playoff team. We'll talk about more about that shortly, I'm sure. Yeah, I think they got to get there. I had the expectation at the start of the season they make the playoffs. I still expect that they will.
Is it too much to ask for this team to host another playoff game? Because that's where I'm at coming into this season. And this season's still pretty early on in its existence. There's still a lot of different ways this can go. If you're talking about taking a step forward, yes, you hosted a playoff game in a wacky format last season against Miami. You crushed them.
Yeah, kind of a play-in game.
Right. Go host another playoff game. I mean, look.
Yeah, that might have been the only local person who predicted them to, right? I had them in fourth. That's a real accomplishment.
Yes.
Fourth place is a big deal.
Look, I mean, so is making – I mean, you were really close to hosting a conference final last season.
Yeah, that's true. If they had somehow knocked off Columbus.
Like, if you get past Columbus, like, I don't think it's that unrealistic. And I think those inside of those front offices and inside that locker room at Nashville SC would agree with me that if you're that close to hosting the conference final, you should expect to host a playoff game the next season. No questions asked. And I'm not willing to lower the expectations this early because, look, as we're about to get to here in a minute, if this team adds the attacking flair that it's lacked for its entire existence, I think we can comfortably say in Major League Soccer, well, then the defense, I mean, you can maybe live with a couple more mistakes from a defense that's been really good. It's an interesting conversation. We're going to continue it when we come back. We're also going to get to Ben Wright's report today on Broadway Sports Media about some big news potentially for Nashville SC. We're going to dissect what we think that means. Plus, coming up, Euro 2020 group stage is starting to wrap up. There have been surprises. There have been disappointments. And there was a man of the match display by a man who plays for Arsenal Football Club that we're going to talk about it. All that and more coming up as the Nashville Soccer Show rolls on right here on 104.5 The Zone. I can't hear myself at all, but the Nashville Soccer Show is on your radio. 104.5 The Zone and on 104.5 The Zone TV. There I am. I say it every week, but I don't know why we don't have, why would we have working headphones and connectors? I can't hear, literally cannot hear either of you. 104.5 The Zone. You can join us on Facebook Live, YouTube, Twitter, and on Twitch. Gosh, there we go. I'm like
every cutting time
in and out as I say.
Every week.
Yeah, I know. There we go. I think I got the headphones to stick where I can hear myself. I'm literally just going to hold my headphones here. Guys, per Ben Wright, attacking reinforcements imminent. Reinforcement, singular. An attacker could be on the way for Nashville SC. Davey, do we think this is Ake Loba coming soon for the boys?
Yeah, our guy over on Broadway Sports, Chris Ivy, has been doing the heavy lifting on the Ake Loba story, kind of keeping up with that. He's the guy who spotted, hey, he did not show up for training last week. He has been there. They've been negotiating. Just seems like it lines up with that timeline. Now, we haven't heard that, and I know Ben Wright for a fact hasn't heard that that is the deal yet. But, you know, when we got that little bit, hey, attacking signing imminent, I think you nailed it, Will. We need it, right? You need to see that type of player come into this lineup, particularly when we've been starved for goals throughout the course of the season. Cadiz is going to be gone for a bit. And then, hey, you lose other attacking players later in the summer. So need a big-time guy. And if it's Ake Loba, he's that dude. I mean, breaks the record signing of the club. By double, at least, it seems like, unless it's less. You know, I think Monterey could sell at a loss and it'd still be double what the club paid for Hani. So big signing. We've talked about him and Estrada both at length. If it's one of those two guys, I think fans will be happy. So we'll see here soon.
So Broadway Sports Media originally reported this back in December of 2019 that Loba has been a priority target for the boys in gold. Nashville has had him on their radar since he was in Peru. They were in advanced talks to sign him ahead of their MLS debut. Then they were outbid by Monterey, who's now willing, reportedly, to sell him for less than the $9 million they originally bought him for. Nashville SC, according to a Broadway Sports Media report, a bid $5 to $7 million originally for Loba. So this continues on with Nashville SC's original valuation of Ake Loba. We assume, I think, the fee would be somewhere in that range. Lucas, have you talked yourself into this being possibly a positive after our last conversation where you were on Michael Estrada for being the next Marco Estrada player. Marco, is it really?
Trying to put a former major league pitcher.
Okay, it says in my notes, Michael Estrada.
No, it is Michael Estrada, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not Marco Estrada?
Yeah, no, Marco is the
Is that what they did last
player.
Time?
That's what I
okay,
did last
so
time.
I did it
I made sure that I read okay. it this time. I was okay. like, I'm going to read this name. So I'm watching the Braves in the studio right now, and I'm not
it was
like.
It's a solid geez. 24 minutes we had there, guys.
Oh, well done.
Nice as long as
we were doing so well.
Look, any addition to try to find a spark, you know, is going to be a positive, you know, especially if it's somebody that this club has been keen on for a long time. My argument was sort of between Loba and Estrada based on what they've done, higher profile production, and a little more consistently, at least more recently. By the way, shout out to Chris Ivey. He's been doing some serious digging. I saw this on my timeline a few days ago where he replied to a reporter in Mexico, Felipe Galindo, and this reporter with a photo of training for Monterrey where Loba plays. And Ivy replies in Spanish, Aquí Loba estuvo el barrial hoy. Like, was he there today? And the reporter replies back in Spanish, Sí está ultimando su salida, which means, yes, he's finalizing his departure. And Chris Ivy's going back and forth in Spanish with this Mexican reporter. So hats off to Chris Ivy for really doing that digging. And it seems like Aquí Loba is on the way out in Monterrey, at least according to Mexican reporters that cover that team. So, look, any spark that this team can find based on what we've seen over the last few months will be a positive. But, guys, we have to remember it wouldn't come into effect until July 7th. We wouldn't see this guy on the field with this team for at least a couple of weeks. And we've all seen how long that acclimation period can kind of take, Rodrigo Pinheiro. So this team has to manufacture goals. Like, there's going to be a few games in the near future where they're going to have to manufacture goals without Yonder Cadiz and without some key players here and there, whether it's due to injury or otherwise. So as good as an attacking addition would be, it doesn't fix any issues over the next couple of weeks.
Twitch, YouTube, Facebook Live, and Twitter, if you want to react, Aké Loba possibly coming to Nashville. Somebody imminently coming to Nashville, per our own Ben Wright, big friend of the show. Who's hanging out in the Twitter comment section with eyes emoji. I love it. Look, this is the dynamic signing we've been waiting for. Yonder Cadiz being more of a, you know, look, Yonder Cadiz does a lot of dirty work. He's a big guy that can hold up the ball. Aké Loba is probably going to sell more tickets than Yonder Cadiz. Is that a fair statement to make at this point? A guy that's a little bit more dynamic, a guy that's going to run in behind the defense instead of holding up the play. I don't know if it's fair to say that Yonder Cadiz is worse because he's more of a workmanlike style of forward versus a pacey one, but this is the kind of excitement that creates a little bit more buzz when you get this kind of attacker, whether that's fair or not for me at this point.
Yeah, it wouldn't be any kind of buzz based on the name, right? Maybe the style of play, you'd have to have some established production, but certainly that mold is what this team needs in that kind of position.
Well, like you said 2 weeks ago, though, Lucas, anytime a guy's been courted by Boca Juniors, it's like, oh, dang. Like, yeah, let's sign that guy, right? So I get the Estrada interest. And then Ben says, hey, I kind of see Loba as maybe a more talented Dombaji. And it's like, well, okay, well, I see that role fitting. So I kind of get both of those ideas. But I think here's the important thing that I want to put on the record. For me, this can't be a Yonder Cadiz leaves and then this guy comes in and then we stay pat with just one of these level players.
Right. I agree.
You need at least two of Cadiz and then someone a bit better, or hey, you've got this guy, maybe you let Cadiz leave and you, hey, do you bring in both of these two dudes? Do you bring in one of these guys and sign somebody else? I can't let Cadiz go yet. I've got to have more attacking talent on this team because the team needs goals that bad. I think you can fill the eight position with a TAM level player. I don't think you need a DP there. So I want to see the DP spots spit on forwards. No questions asked.
Well, and two guys, when you hit as big as you did on Alistair Johnston, on Dan Lovitz, on Dax McCarty, when you get as many good value guys, Dave Romney, let's throw him in there as well. Joe Willis, another one. Like, this team has afforded itself the luxury of overspending a little bit more on attack because the value it has in the back line and really in goal as well has been so tremendous. I mean, look, you don't win the Champions League, Davey knows. You don't win the World Cup without, like, a couple of different options who are number one, number nines that can create that competition. And Lucas, for me, this is where Nashville SC hasn't had the level of competition it needs at the number nine position. As soon as somebody gets hurt, sure, somebody else will step up. You know, Yonder Cadiz has been good. No one has really taken that role and just run with it. Like, we've seen a lot of timid performances and guys that haven't turned in a 7 or an 8, in the match ratings day in and day out. This group needs more competition and another body to kind of raise everybody else's level of play for me, because nobody's really having to earn minutes right now. It's just out of necessity that CJ Sapong and, Yonder Cadiz, when he's here, are still being trotted out there, because this group is so banged up at this point.
Yeah, that's a great point. You don't feel like somebody is pushing the other for minutes. It feels like whenever there is a change in terms of a substitution at the top, it's, okay, let's try something different here. Let's put a new guy on as we're chasing a goal, some fresh legs. Not so much that competition of who's going to get the start this week. A lot of times that does revolve around injury. And it's a good point. And also Daniel Rios being out for so long probably has a lot to do with that. I know you hope to get him back Saturday. Doubtful that you'd get him back tomorrow for the match against Toronto. But you hope that Daniel Rios will at least provide some of that competition here in the next week or so.
Well, so Lucas, you brought it up earlier. How does this team manufacture goals in the short term, right, before that next guy is here? And I think there's a few interesting things. One, I think for the time being, we're going to see more of Luke Hawkinson, right? I think Gary has clearly shown he trusts him. He puts him in there when the team needs a goal. I also found it interesting that we finally saw a Hanwala Bwana sighting the other day, which we haven't seen in ages. I mean, I think it's been 2 months since we've seen Bwana on the field. So
came on for Leal.
Yeah, I think he has something to contribute. I think he looked bright early in the season, and then he got yanked at halftime of that match, and then we haven't seen him since then. So interesting for me, just kind of that he got some minutes there at the end. But look, you know you've got to have Leal on the field. You know you've got to have Mukhtar on the field. We've talked about, do you push Mukhtar up top in a 4-4-2? What does that look like? Abu Dhabi, what can he do for this team? And then Dambaji's still out. Rio's still out. So while those two forwards are down and Cadiz is on the road, you know Sapong starts. And then it's just, hey, are you 4-2-3-1? Are you 4-4-2? How forward does Hani get? And then, look, we've established the fact that Alex Moyle is going to start every game, right? we have no questions asked on that. Credit to him. He deserves the minutes. So that leaves Randall Leal on the other side. And then it's just formationally, where do you get a guy like Hawkinson in there to contribute? And so it's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough to get more than 2-3 chances. I think real scoring chances. This team led the league in XG going into last week. I don't think they do anymore because it was pretty low the other day. Fourth now. Okay, there you go. So still pretty high, though. But they're riding high off those early 2 or 3 performances from the season. And I think you just got to find a way to sustain a little bit more pressure with the ball. And again, I think let's not be too hasty. That's a good Red Bulls team playing at home. I don't think we can like rewrite the book on Nashville SC based on that performance alone.
Yeah, I think you're right. And look, it makes tomorrow night really interesting because, guys, this is a Toronto team that you could argue maybe you're getting at a good time. They've been largely disappointing this season as well. They're below Nashville SC in the standings in the Eastern Conference, but that's largely because they've been without the league's most valuable player. Alejandro Pozuelo is back, made his first start of the season for the club in a 3-2 loss against Orlando on Saturday night. Ayo Akinola is still a player that is just so, so tough leading the line for Toronto. And now you've got a team, Davey, specifically in Nashville defensively, who's coming off a couple of bad mistakes that led to goals and now has to track one of the league's best, if not the best, number 10 in Major League Soccer. It's a big challenge despite whichever version with however many points Toronto has coming to Nissan Stadium.
Yeah, you're spot on, right? So just on the surface level, these two teams in the circumstances of this season, it's an interesting game. When you add to the fact that Nashville SC put Toronto out of the playoffs on the road last year, Toronto goes through all this turnover, the coach leaves. Like, I think there's a lot to this one. I think Toronto really, really wants this one. So you've got them coming on the road. Their kind of talisman comes back, a game they've won to win, payback. It's almost one of the least favorite teams that I would like to see Nashville playing at this point in the season, needing to get all 3 points at home. That being said, Will, yes, has Nashville let in goals? Sure they have, Pozuelo's back. Toronto's done the same thing. So you talk about a team who needs goals. This is a team who's kind of been leaking them in. And you got to think, if you're Nashville, you feel pretty happy about being able to go get a few.
And that was the big story in this 3-2 loss against Orlando, was Quentin Westberg had a nightmare for Toronto. Let up a goal within the first minute against Orlando City. They score again early on in that first half. And then, Lucas, they give up a goal late in the 84th minute to lose this one. I almost wonder, you know, what are their options as well between the pipes? Because Westberg was directly responsible for two of the goals against Orlando City. Omar Gonzalez said earlier, I believe today, that Toronto's treating this like a playoff final. That's a lot of pressure to put on his team, but it's a high expectation coming to Nissan Stadium tomorrow night.
Yeah, yeah. You say, you know, maybe they're getting them at a good time, and you look at it on paper, they've won one game in their last 10 matches. So you're thinking, okay, this is a team just in dreadful form. This could be a good opportunity for a bounce back, but this team's going to be starving for a result on the road. And that was a crazy game, by the way, the 3-2 loss against Orlando. I think there will be spaces to exploit in the middle of that Toronto defense. It's just a matter of whether or not Nashville will be able to find that link between midfield and attack to do that. Hani Mukhtar is going to have a lot to do with that in that central attacking role. Maybe he has to create for himself, because you imagine you'll see a lot of the same personnel-wise, with the exception of Godoy rejoining the lineup, as you saw against New York Red Bulls. Despite their poor run of results, though, Toronto, I think, pose a more dynamic kind of combination in the attack than Nashville have on their roster, between Pozuelo, like you said, one of the league's best, and Akinola. I mean, those two, it's very different from what you saw with Red Bulls, with the long balls played into the box trying to create chaos. They can create some dangerous combination play going into the box, and with Nashville, how shaky they've been defensively in the last couple of outings, that there could be some level of concern there. But it's a good opportunity for Nashville to try to test some things out and try to take advantage of some space left open by Toronto's back line, because I think it will be there. And you're right, Will, the goalkeeping has been very bad.
Real quick, before we continue on with Toronto, one other thing I just kind of thought of with the Ake Loba stuff and kind of finishing off our conversation about that. One thing Nashville really could avoid by going ahead and getting this deal done now, I'm interested to see if they can start that quarantine process and start the COVID regulations now, even if the transfer can't officially be official until July 7th as a part of Nashville SC's, you know, the next transfer window in Major League Soccer. What you can't happen, guys, is what happened with Yonner Cadiz last year, where you buy a player hoping that he's got weeks left in the regular season and he's still getting integrated, and he finally, you know, what makes his first start in the first playoff game against Inter Miami. If Nashville SC can start that process now, obviously we don't know the logistics and the facts of that and what, you know, the vaccination process is like with somebody coming over from Monterrey in Mexico. But something I just kind of thought of too, that if Nashville can kind of accelerate this process now, you got to get Ake Loba or whoever this is. We're still working on a rumor that is, you know, not officially confirmed, right? I mean, Ben's report said hearing that it is imminent, but we still don't know 100% whether or not this is happening, so we don't want to get too ahead of ourselves. But I think regardless of who it is, we can agree that that's got to be paramount for this team, somebody that can get integrated pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I mean, you know, the Cadiz stuff was different last year just because where the world was with COVID, so I don't expect it to be quite
visa
that level.
Issues,
but
things like that.
Yeah, I agree with you that, hey, if this guy can get here right away before the 7th and he's ready to go sometime early to mid-July, that's ideal for this club, particularly when so many forwards are so hurt right now. And I think you're hopeful Cadiz is back around that same time frame. But look, we'll know more about Cadiz by the end of the month of June anyways. Is there an extension on the loan? Is he signed? Does he go back? So there's a lot to learn in a few short weeks here for Nashville Soccer Club, and it's an exciting time if you're a fan. It's an exciting time for us as we cover the team.
So Jonathan Osorio of Toronto, as we kind of say one more thing about Toronto here, says, we're frustrated because we were the better team on the field today, I think by far, talking about Toronto's 3-2 loss to Orlando City, saying three goals from three mistakes. If I remember correctly, those were their only chances. We will clean that up. Who does that sound like?
I was going to say, sounds familiar.
I mean, is this a good thing or a bad thing that that Nashville SC is getting a team that's really a little bit of a different version of themselves at this point of the season?
I suppose just because of the way some of the results have shaken out. I don't know how similar the teams look when you just put them next to each other in terms of style of play and whatnot. And Toronto, like I said, many more options in the attack, and that's simply because of what can happen at the feet of Alejandro Pozuelo. He's such a good attacking talent that can create for himself off the dribble, but just create passing lanes that are hard to find in this league. He's my favorite kind of MLS DP, guys. You know, not sort of the guy in the twilight of his career, just coming in, big name, and not kind of that younger, nobody really knows who he is, hopeful kind of guy. A guy who's established himself, played several years in La Liga and the Premier League and in Belgium, is in the prime of his career, and you bring him in still in his 20s, and he grabs this league by the reins and is one of the best 11 players last season. Those are the type of signings that teams in MLS need to continue to make in terms of getting guys from Europe, and Pozuelo's a perfect example, and I think he just adds a whole new element to this Toronto team.
Real quick, too, guys. Two games this weekend, both primetime, so chance to see the lights in Nissan Stadium. I know that's something Davey Shepherd is always very excited about.
Always.
Is to see the lights. Look, it's a lot of money to spend on something that, what, the Titans get to show off just once or twice a year, this upcoming season twice. But Davey, as well, this is a great opportunity, Fat Bottom Football, to take advantage of Fat Bottom Brewery in Nissan Stadium. We always appreciate them being the official beer of the Nashville Soccer Show, and it's going to be a big opportunity, two of them this week, for Nashville SC fans to enjoy a Fat Bottom Brew at Nissan Stadium.
That's exactly right. Get in that stadium, get yourself a Teddy Loves Pilsner or a Ruby Red Ale. Snap that pic with the can, hashtag Fat Bottom Football, FUTBOL. And you're going to be entered for a chance to win a paid-for trip to Miami to check out, I guess it's to Fort Lauderdale, right? Let's be specific.
Yeah.
To Fort Lauderdale to see Inter Miami FC play Nashville SC in August. Listen, it's going to be a great trip. Your flights are going to be paid for. You're going to go down. Your tickets are going to be paid for. I don't know where you're getting a better deal than this in Nashville to go on that away trip. I know a lot of you want to go anyways. It's one that's on my list to try to make. Unfortunately, because of our affiliation, I cannot win this package, which I find very annoying. That being said, I want you guys to win because you are a loyal listener. So go ahead, tag it. I mean, just there's no reason not to do it. You're going to the game anyways. You're drinking a beer anyways. You want to go to the Miami game. Just go ahead and do it, man. Take the picture. We love Fat Bottom. They take care of us. They take care of you guys. They kind of set the tone in the stadium, I think. And just get it done.
This is soccer, Davey. Everything is corrupt. You can do it if you want to.
That's okay. Wow, that's honestly, that's a great comeback from Lucas Panzeca here. Not a bad idea. All right, when we come back, the Euros, the group stage wraps up tomorrow. Transfer news all around Europe as the silly season. It is well underway for clubs in the Premier League. Our teams as well. We'll talk about my three Lions and their great result today. Lucas Panzeca, who actually has a reason to be affiliated to his team in the Euros. We'll talk about Italy. We'll talk about it all when we come back. Final segment coming up next on 104.5 The Zone. All right, so the Euros, guys. Italy's the team to beat, right? Are we in agreement on this? I know Lucas thinks this. Davey?
I'm in wholehearted agreement on this.
I do too.
I think honestly, so I've been on Twitter going on this a little bit, and Lucas is going to get after me, and that's fine. But I just think the quality of play overall has been a little underwhelming. There have been some very good games. I just don't think it's been a great tournament. Now, I am usually of the opinion that I just think it's kind of impossible for the play to be great at these tournaments because the teams play together so infrequently. And then in this year, on top of everything, it's such a condensed schedule. So I think there's plenty of reason for it. With that being said, Italy has overachieved, in my opinion. I think they have looked so complete and so good. And I just think they've been killing it. The other guy we'll say has been great is Romelu Lukaku has just been out of this world.
Yeah.
Tremendous job. He's been killer, man.
Lucas, your player of the tournament so far for your Italians. Locatelli's been incredible. You got a lot of options, though, of good players. They've been rock solid at the back. The attack is dynamic. We were watching the game the other day, Davey, and I was in the green room here at the station. Lucas was in the little like side office that Jonathan Schaefer sits in here. And Lucas was like 2 seconds ahead of me. there were two different times I just hear like, oh, and I just knew there was a screamer coming. And neither of them disappointed. They're both screamers. You have a lot of options for your player of the tournament so far.
I do think I would give it to Manuel Locatelli, even though he didn't play in the match against Wales. Those first two performances, maybe because he's the guy I expected the least out of that midfield trio. Now, with that said, Jorginho might be the most important player on the field for Italy, but I think Locatelli's been the most impressive. I mean, he's had a phenomenal season with Sassuolo, really a phenomenal two seasons, but I think the balance that he gives that midfield with a guy like Nicola Barella as a box-to-box midfielder for Inter, he's going to get forward. He's going to have freedom to spend plenty of time in the final third. We all know Jorginho's going to sit back and pull strings. You're not really going to notice Jorginho for Italy, and that's probably a good thing. Locatelli kind of does a little bit of both, and he, you know, he can score from long range. He can set things up. He set up Berardi on kind of a hockey assist, so to speak. I mean, it's just been so dynamic for Italy. I think they can play any way. That's what makes me so confident about this team. They haven't really been threatened yet either. And when they are, there's that stable solidity in defense with Leonardo Bonucci and Chiellini, if he's healthy, he's still hurt, I believe, and Gigi Donnarumma in goal as the goalkeeper. So part of it worries me because it's rare in these major tournaments to see one squad play so well from start to finish, right? A lot of times it peters out or it's a slower start and they get things rolling in the knockout stage. And the other part of me is like, this team is so confident. They haven't just been playing this way for the last three matches. They've been playing this way since 2018.
Well, and Lucas, too, when this is why games are not played like they are on FIFA, where everybody has an overall and the sum of all of the parts are equal to this big machine, right? Like, I say that to say that I don't know if Italy is the most talented team at Euro 2020. They're the best team right now because the system works so seamlessly. I mean, it is a confident group based on, like you said, what they've done since 2018, that I don't care about the flash and the talent that perhaps some other teams have over this Italian team. The system works, and like you said, they're rock solid at the back with a couple of different guys that have been out or have been on the field at this point. It's just such a high ceiling with a team that plays into a system as well as Italy has so far this tournament.
It's a Mancini. It's hard to say that this is the best team he has had as a manager. He won the Premier League with Manchester City, but over a long span of time, I think that this is kind of his masterpiece, so to speak, with his national team. They're certainly the favorite at the moment. And people, there is that perception that Italy's not as talented. They certainly don't have the big name Kevin De Bruyne's and Harry Kane's. But at the same time, the play in Serie A has been so good over the last year.
It's true.
People are kind of starting to come around to it. And I'm not just talking about the Italians, guys. Some of the best performances in this tournament have come out of players in Serie A, whether it's Patrick Schick scoring what has to be the goal of the tournament. I can't possibly see anything topping that. Or whether it's Robin Gosens of Atalanta putting on a masterclass against Portugal.
Incredible.
I mean, you look across the board, and that has been kind of the common denominator with a lot of these man of the match awards given out, players from Serie A. So I don't know, maybe Italy doesn't have the big name talents, but they have talent, and they're working in a very cohesive, unselfish, and seamless way that has to make them the favorite right now.
Davey, between France, Germany, and England, which of those three teams at this point in the tournament do you feel most confident in right now?
Oh, it's France. They've still just got the most talent in the roster. Like any team, Italy, England, whatever included, they're the most talented roster around. I don't think they've looked great, but look, the truth will out.
They didn't look great in 2018 either.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I just think they're that good. By the way, for everybody out there, I hope my microphone now sounds better. It was turned around backwards the entire show so far. I blame it on the two-week-old who's had me awake pretty much at all hours of the day. Cool. So please forgive me for that. Full Shepherd at its finest, truest form for the last 50-odd minutes. So, but yeah, I think it's France. Look, they're that good. I think they got the best player in the world right now in N'Golo Kanté. I think Pogba's been playing out of his mind next to N'Golo Kanté. The forwards have been good. Mbappe's going to click at some point. Look, England can do whatever England wants to do. We'll talk about Saka. He was tremendous today. Andy, I know you're out there. He was tremendous today.
He's so good.
He was so good. He did so good. So full marks to that guy. But look, here's what I'm saying. They still scored one goal, Will.
I know.
They still scored one goal. And you know, a guy who's just scored like goal after goal after goal after goal for the last two seasons hasn't played a minute in the tournament yet, Jaden Sant. Like, what does that guy got to do?
He did come on a few minutes today.
I love today.
He came on at the end of the day. Okay, my bad. Yeah.
So he is alive.
I love the quote of Gareth Southgate saying about Sancho. We just have a lot of talented attackers in this side. When he said that, North Macedonia had outscored them in the Euro so far. Like, Scotland is underrated. I'm not just saying this because I love Kieran Tierney, but Scotland is pretty underrated. Josh McGinn, I think, is a really good player. Kieran Tierney, obviously, I mean, he was maybe the man of the match in that game.
No, scoreless. Billy Goatmore was good, who won man of the match. So
it's fair. Of course, Andy Robertson, like that wasn't as bad of a result, I think, as some made it out to be, because Scotland, I think, is just pretty solid.
It was just uninspiring.
But it was uninspiring.
Felt lackadaisical. Yes.
And Harry Kane now has 2 goals in his last 14 games for England. 2 goals in his 14. Like, what are we doing, man? Like, with the guys he has around him, Jack Grealish finally gets a start.
He was very good.
Jack Grealish looked really good. I don't know why he got the hook so early. He looked great.
Jack
Most
Grealish
underrated player in the league, I think.
Him, and I'm not just saying this because he's linked with Arsenal. James Maddison, also very underrated player in the Premier League, but that's neither here nor there.
No, England, I think, has just got stuff to figure out, and I said it kind of. I had them in the final, right? I think this roster is much better than they are currently performing.
You have them in the final too?
I did. I had them losing to France in the final.
I've got them losing to Italy.
And nice. So I think they're playing fine, but it's like everything is just like. They're doing it in spite of Southgate, and I can't imagine being an actual English fan having to watch this team.
Well, you can imagine it because you watch Greg Berhalter, and these are the exact things that you say about Greg Berhalter.
But the frustrating thing with England is all the marquee names that you see, and you have to have Phil Foden come off for Jack Grealish to come on, and Raheem Sterling, who is actually in pretty good form. He scored both of England's goals.
Yeah.
But it's that you see it in spurts for maybe your 20 minutes or so, but I don't think this team is built in a way that utilizes its attacking talents well enough. It's very solid in the back. It has been for the first 3 games. But to me, they play too conservatively. And I just want to see Southgate let some guys loose, because the young attacking talent is so phenomenal for this team. And I'm so confident, guys, that we're just not going to see it blossom in this tournament. Like, I can't tell you how confident I am.
Or England.
I can't tell you how confident I am. England is not going to make it past the quarterfinal. Like, I promise you that's going to happen, because when do they ever just figure it out?
I mean, they were like 1 game away from figuring it out in the World Cup. I mean, they still made the semifinal.
Yeah, but
that's got to count for
something. Somehow it never looked convincing the whole way.
Portugal didn't either in the last Euros, and they won it.
Yeah, but
that's a fair point.
Portugal had the best player in the world.
And that's a fair point. Now, I equate England's semifinal run in 18 to Brazil's in 2014. Grinding out results, maybe some favorable opponents along the way. That Brazil team felt like a house of cards when it went up against the machine of Germany, and they didn't belong in the same field together. I kind of see that in a similar light.
I feel more comfortable about Portugal right now than I do England.
Oh, certainly.
Really?
Yeah.
No question.
Absolutely.
That performance against Germany?
I do. I think Portugal's structure is better structured to have success in this tournament than England is right now. England has been grinding out 1-0 results and scoreless draws against Scotland, Czech Republic, and I'm blanking, Croatia, who did not look good in that first game against England.
Luka Modric, though, that's another
He did. He blossomed today. He had a phenomenal performance against Scotland. Yep. But I just don't see this team just figuring it out. Maybe that's I never have, and I'll believe it when I see it.
Final comment.
Before we go, out Denmark. Shout out Denmark back, That'd do right what they it. Did. Remarkable story. Best story of the tournament.
Yes.
Truly, truly awesome. And then Christensen gets his goal for the Chelsea tie, and you knew I had to go there. But seriously, ultimate story from the tournament. Remarkable stuff. You got to love it. That's what sports are about right there.
That's exactly what Ben Wright just said on Periscope. He gets the last comment tonight saying, you know who will be scary in the knockouts? Denmark. I think we're all rooting for Denmark at this point.
Absolutely.
Certainly. With everything they went through in the group stage. All right, that's our time tonight. But Nashville SC gets some time back inside Nissan Stadium tomorrow night against Toronto. Back at it Saturday night against Montreal. Going to be a big week. And we'll be here next Tuesday night. I don't know why I said Wednesday night. We'll be here next Tuesday night. Went full Shepherd right at the end of the show.
We'll
talk
Shepherd.
About it on the Nashville Soccer Show. As always on 104.5 The Zone. See ya.